old. Okay. Come on, you're in spit row now. Get ready. That's really good. Not just because Paige and I are investing in Philip and Meredith, but because all of you guys are. And it's just, I never get tired of hearing how God will meet people where they're at, no matter where they're at. Take them from that moment and just say, hey, follow me. That's the only thing that Christ wants to say is, hey, that stuff doesn't matter. You know, some people would hear that and say, oh my gosh, that's really bad. Some of the stuff that I did was really bad, right? And so Christ just says, hey, you know what? Follow me. From now on, just follow me and we'll take it and we'll do it. So that's, I never get tired of hearing people's testimonies. That's really good. So praise the Lord. I feel like I don't really even need to say anything after that. We can just roll. But except for, yeah, it's just like, perfect, don't then. I do have a few announcements real quick, and then we do need to get going, and we'll see where we're going. So, first off, I don't really have any, Brian didn't send me any announcements, so is there anything in the bulletin that's pressing? The biggest thing you guys need to know is it's Vision Conference week, and if you didn't know that, I don't know what rock you've been hiding under, but you need to get out from under it. But
everybody that helps, thank you.
Yeah.
You in this room.
Praise the Lord. I do appreciate Passpoint. You know, I challenge you guys to step up and to find a way to make some time. And it worked out really well because this year, Paige and I just really weren't as available as we like to be. And the devil like cursed us with some sort of sickness that lasted for weeks on end. And it'd been fine if we could have all been sick at the same time, but it's like it just drug on and on. So I do appreciate you guys stepping in and doing it. And Mitchell and Jody just always filling the gap. It's really awesome to see Holly and Brady and Mitchell and Jody and all of you guys who are sporadically down the hallway. And it's like, I can't ever get you all here at the same time. You just wait. I got something for you today. Not really. I'm just... but no, Vision Conference. So if you didn't know, we got this morning. The guest speaker this year, his name is Joe Hendrigsman. He's from Mexico. I don't know anything about this dude. So I'm just going to... Huh? I think he has. I mean, I just don't know a lot about him. A lot of times I can tell you some stuff, but... So he'll be here this morning. There'll be a dinner tonight. There's probably some sign-up stuff in the foyer still if you want to come to that. It's a really good time if you haven't been here for that. We kind of get together and we have dinner, the entire church. They set up tables in there. It's a really fun time. And then the guest speaker, the speaker of honor, whatever you want to call him, him and maybe his wife, if she's here, they'll kind of share some stuff about just what's going on practically in the field that they're on, maybe do some question and answer. You kind of get to know them. And then he'll be here Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, right? And so, what, church like four nights in a row? Yes, praise the Lord, right? And so make time to be here. I understand it's a busy time of year, but I've told you guys this year after year, if you present yourself available for this time, this is where God just really downloads his vision for what we're doing as a church for the year going forward, right? And so I remember a vision conference that Doug Howey was preaching and basically just convicted me to my core a few years after I got saved. And I just remember, I don't remember anything about what he was teaching on other. It was Caleb and Joshua and going into the promised land. And I'm like, I want to be like those two and not like those 10. And I'm like, God, no matter what you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. I will not be like those 10. I remember giving my life, not to Christ, but just basically to the mission at that point. And things like that happen at vision conference. So if you're not all sold out for God, maybe skip coming. I'm just saying, not really. Yeah, no, it's yeah, it's really, really good. So make time to be here. There's also sessions Monday morning, Tuesday morning for a few hours. There'll be some different guys speaking about some things. So I had a wise man tell me one time, because I've always been the kind of guy that really protects my vacation time. Like I save it for time with my family or, you know, special things like that, you know, mission trips, things like that. And I had a guy tell me one time, he's like, are you going to be able to take some time off for the Vision Conference? And I'm like, no, I'll be here in the evenings, but no. And he basically just, he kind of convicted me. He's like, there will be no better time throughout the entire year that you can take a couple days off than for this. And I'm like, really? I look at this man now and I respect the heck out of him. And I was sitting in the nursery with him the day he told me that, and I'll never forget it. So there's no better time to use some vacation. Now, I say that to say I've still got to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to try to work it all out. But there's sometimes circumstances. But if you can make it, it's worth it. So just... throwing that out there, right? The kids can miss soccer practice one time. I'll talk to their coach. Tell them to call me, right? Whatever it is, you know, just so anyway. Other than that, announcements, is there anything in the bulletin that needs to be hit? Because I need to get going.
Registration is open for high school camp.
Okay. High school camp registration. We went and looked at the camp yesterday. If you want information on that, it's great. So moving on. One other thing Pat asked me to pass along. Pat's down in the back today. He really wanted to be here, so he said pray for him. But also, the next Sunday after church, they're doing Taking to the Streets because the following week is Easter. So if we as a class could maybe, you know, grab some flyers and go out or do something, if you're available, maybe we should do something like that. So I'm giving you the pregame or whatever for now. So get ready. So next week we need to go out and invite people to church for Easter, right? Because you know there's a whole lot of people that'll show up for church on Easter and Christmas, right? So get them here and let them hear the gospel, and then let God work it out. It's not your job to save them. Just get them here, let them hear the gospel, and let God work it out. One other thing I did want to tell you, I've kind of been meeting with some people from Past Point, and this is just kind of an informational thing. Usually we get together, you know, 9:15, 9:30-ish, and I usually start teaching about 9:30. I really like the time of fellowship, and you guys don't need to hear from me for any more than 45 minutes on any given day anyway. I've just decided that, right? And so I really like the time of fellowship, but something I do want to start doing, and I'm just going to do it once a month because I thought it was really good the time we did it, is the first week of the month. And I know that this was the first week of the month, but Meredith was doing her thing, so we'll do it next week. But just like once a month, we'll get together. So maybe if you could be here just a little bit earlier, and if not, we'll just take some of my time. That's fine. But and just like, hey, what's going on in your life? Is there something we can pray about, right? And it kind of lets me know, and it lets everybody else in here know, hey, this is just a specific point of prayer for this family, right? And you might be like, well, that's weird. No, it's not. We're a family, and I need to know how to pray for you, and you need to know how to pray for me, right? Because you don't know my wife, and she's really hard to deal with. So you need to pray for her, right?
Yes.
I'm totally just kidding. So no, I don't want it to be like an every. I mean, it could be an every week thing, but I don't want it to become monotonous. So I just want something we do like once a month, and just kind of we can update. Hey, you know, hey, this person you were praying about, something's changed, and it's really good. So just so you know, that's something I want to try to maybe focus on a little bit. So just throwing that out there. Probably do it the first week of every month. So anyway, anybody else got anything? Or we'll get rolling. Yes, sir.
Do you read this pamphlet?
What is it? Oh, on the Vision Conference? Yeah. Yeah.
I know a lot of people in here are involved in children's ministry. Lee Carter, mm-hmm. I've known since...
Lee Hyder, Grasshopper?
He was my youth minister growing up, and if you read this, he's helping plant 300 churches and everything. So
praise the Lord.
I just thought it was encouraging because I know a lot of us are involved in.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say that the Clinton Church is having their women's retreat at the end of this month.
It is. If any ladies want to go to that, sign up. You're definitely willing or welcome, and they would love to have you, so it'll be a good time.
Thanks.
Okay.
Do you know the sign up deadline?
The 4th to 14th.
Okay. Okay.
Is there an online sign up, or do they just need to contact
you?
If that's something you're interested in, check with Lauren or Paige, okay? And we'll get you hooked up for that, because it would be a good time. It's just down there in Clinton, so. Anyway. Right. The Mama team is here taking care of the kids, so that's why Mitchell's here, and that's why, you know, Brady and Holly are here, Jody's here. Right. And so it's because you got this team of people, so just love on them, right? They're wearing these bright red shirts. Just love on them, so it'd be a good time. All right, we do need to get into the Word, so if you got your Bibles, turn to First Samuel. First Samuel chapter 17, and most of you guys probably know what's in First Samuel 17, so that's good because I don't have time to tell you about it very much. But so how's the Bible reading going? Anybody that's just like, I quit, right? Because if you did, that's not an option. So, well, hey, if you're behind, either just you pick up where we're at. Which I can tell you really quickly, like where we're supposed to be today. Not to convict you, but
2 Samuel 13:2.
That's not correct. Yes, today is the 7th. 1 Kings 14-16 is where we're supposed to be today.
Oh, are we? Oh, yeah. For
yeah.
Two.
Okay. So anyway.
Are you guys reading like 10 chapters?
No. So anyway, that's where we're at. Just keep going, guys. And so I'm behind as well. Praise the Lord, you know. But, you know, that's just the way life is. So anyway, keep going at it, okay? And if you got questions, ask me. Ask me on the side. We can talk about them in class, whatever it may be. So anyway, I cannot talk today. Tell you what, I'm going to pray that God will allow me to speak, and then we'll get rolling. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for the Past Point class, Lord. I thank you for changed lives. Lord, just to see how you're working in my life and my wife's life and the lives of every one of these people, Lord. And just the testimony from Meredith was just really sweet this morning. Lord, to see how you can come alongside somebody and just love them where they're at and just bring them alongside and teach them truth and allow them to walk in you. So I pray that you just speak to us today, Lord. Put me out of the way. I don't have anything to say, Lord. I do pray for anybody at Past Point who isn't here today for whatever reason, Lord. I pray that you just bless them. Bless Pat as he's got his back hurting, Lord, that you just be able to come alongside of him, heal him, allow him to minister the way he would ought, Lord. And we do pray for Candace, Lord, as she lost her grandmother, Lord. And we also pray for Ashley, the name has slipped my mind as she lost her aunt this week. So I do pray that we would just love on them, Lord, and that you would just be magnified in our lives. I pray for the Monmouth team and just the word go forth this week, that it would be bold, Lord, that it would change our lives and that we could be more like you. And I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.
First Samuel.
Okay. First Samuel, chapter 17. So here's your title, Preparing Your Mind for the Battle. And I don't know what it is with this whole battle theme, but it's like this is what has been, like, it doesn't matter what I read, it's like this, and it's just that part of the Bible, I guess, but like everything is battle related, right? I had this thing with Gideon a few weeks ago. Hey, what's up? So I had this thing a few weeks ago with Gideon, and then I actually took that. I know this is like, I shouldn't tell you I did this, but when I went to Clinton to preach, I actually used that. I kind of twisted it a little bit. It was really good when I was in Clinton. But there's just been this like battle theme, right? There's these battles that we deal with. So anyway, preparing your mind for the battle. And so you guys know the battle that's going on. We referenced this. You can be lost as a ball in tall grass, and you know the David and Goliath story, right? But as I was reading through this, I'm like, there's something here that I haven't really seen before. And so there's some things I want to pick up on, and I'm going to have to finish it up next week because so today we're going to look at 6 lies that the adversary wants you to believe, right? And then we're going to look at like the first half of this chapter. And then next week, let me get down here so I can see what I called it. We'll see 6 promises that we need to remember, right? But I'm not going to get that far today. We're going to be doing good to get through the 6 lies. So 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me just read some of this and we'll get going, right? And so if you got any questions, you can stop me and ask me. I'm going to try to explain as much as I can as I go. But these are just some things that God has shown me. So now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and gathered together in Succoth, which belongeth to Judah. Now that tells you right there that they are in the land that God had given to Israel because they were in Judah's land. So they are in the wrong. So know that right now. They're in the wrong. And pitched between Succoth and Azekah and Ephes-Damdim. Say that twice. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together. Remember, Saul's the king that they just had to have. And pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So it's like, here's this perfect theater for war, right? Like, they're here, it's going to be epic, right? And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. I'm like, yes, this would make a really good movie, right? I'm like, this is the kind of stuff I live for, right? I love this kind of stuff. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. You know, everybody knows Goliath, right? Of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. Now, just for a second, how tall was Goliath? Somebody tell me. Just right.
He was 6 cubits in a span. 6 inches.
Okay, so that is really close, right? The closest guess that we have. A cubit in the Bible is the span between your wrist and your elbow. So we're going to guess is somewhere about 18 inches, especially on a big guy, right? But it doesn't exactly tell you whose forearm we're using. So, but we're going to guess about 18. Oh, gosh. We're going to assume about 18 inches, right? And So that's 9 feet. And then it says a span. When it says a span in the Bible, it is how far from like here to here. Well, some people got bigger hands than I do. So we're going to guess he's somewhere a little over 9 feet, maybe 10 feet, maybe even up to 11 feet tall. He's a big dude, right? He's going to make Brady look like me when I look at Brady. Let's just, right? He ain't much to look at, is he, right? Some of you picked up on that joke.
So he's like grazing the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, that's how big this dude is. And I'm not guessing he's a tall dude that's really scrawny. I'm not. So anyway, that gives you kind of a physical idea of what this guy looks like. Right? In verse 5, and he had a helmet of brass on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, meaning like the little chain thing that they wear that allows you to not be penetrated by anything. So, yeah, he had this coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. That'd be enough to crumble me. And he had greaves of brass on his legs, and a target of brass between the shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a waver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. I'm not sure what that guy's use was, but... Yeah. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye the servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you should be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man who we may fight together, right? It reminds me of the guy on Kung Fu Panda, right? He's like, finally a worthy opponent, right? If you haven't seen that movie, you totally missed it. But anyway, verse 11. When Saul and all the Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and now greatly afraid. Here's the first lie that the enemy wants you to believe, right? And so you can take this practically. I don't have a lot of time to elaborate, so we're going to move quickly. You don't measure up. You don't measure up. And you're like, what are you talking about? It doesn't matter what it is that God's asking you to do. I want you to go and share the gospel with this guy. Well, isn't there somebody that'd be better, right? Isn't somebody else better for that? I'm not as good as this person. There's got to be somebody that is bigger than I am. I can't do it, right? That's the first thing, that you don't measure up. Before you even have to decide if you're going to go to battle or not, the adversary wants you to think that you're outmatched and outnumbered. Before you ever even go, that's what he wants. He wants you to think that you have no chance. Why does he do that? Somebody tell me why.
Intimidation.
He doesn't want you to think you don't measure up, so the battle's not even worth fighting. Well, if I can't do it, then I'm not going to go. It's not even worth it, right? He wins the battle in your mind before you ever even go. You're defeated here before you ever did anything with your feet, right? That's not a place to be. If you go into the battle thinking that you're going to lose, then what do you think is going to happen? You're probably going to lose, right? You're probably going to lose. The adversary will use your biggest fear or insecurity. Now, this gets a little more practical, right? He'll use your biggest fear or insecurity and play it against you. You might be like, what do you mean? What is it that is in you that's just like, I just can't get that settled? That's what he's going to bring you to. If it's in your marriage, if it's in your work life, if it's in anything, he's going to bring you to that every time. What about the battles in your lives, right? At your job, right? Like, I'll do anything that I'm told to do. I just don't really want to do that one thing because it just doesn't seem right, or I don't like working with this one person, or I just can't deal with that one thing, or whatever it is. The adversary is going to bring you to that point and say, okay, well, you can't do it then, right? You don't measure up. Right? What about in your marriage, right? To the lost world, when you're out, you know, sharing the gospel. You just don't measure up, right? That's what he wants to get in your mind. That person knows more about the gospel than I even do, so how am I going to try to share the gospel with them? Why would I ever want to go talk to a Jehovah's Witness about the Bible? Because they know more about my Bible than I do. Well, maybe they do. Get out there and go to battle anyway, right? And maybe the battle needs to start with you learning your word, but anyway, I don't have time to talk about that. So, He's gonna play on your insecurities, right? 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You've got to catch those things and get them where they need to be before you ever step out into battle. Because if you go into battle thinking, "I'm just not sure," well, then guess what? You're not sure. And they are. And they've got to step up on you, right? You need to go in confident. You need to go in thinking, "You know what? Maybe I don't measure up. But my God does," right? And we'll get to those things as we wrap around the other side. But that's the first lie that the enemy wants you to believe. You don't measure up. You're not big enough, right? You're right. If Brady stands up in front of me, and then I see Goliath behind him, I'm like, "Nope. Nope. Ain't doing it."
Brady runs. Yeah.
You don't measure up. But you know what? Praise the Lord, I don't measure up. God does. God does. Verse 12. Moving on. "Now David was the son of Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul." So his dad was a pretty cool dude, what they're kind of saying. "And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle." So not everybody was in battle, but these must have been the big brothers, right? "The names of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him were Abinadab, and the third was Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul." I don't know what it says about the other brothers, but it just lists those 4, right? So either way. "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Now, if you'll remember where David was before this, you can go back and read and pick it all up. But anyway, David was basically a shepherd in the field, taking care of dad's sheep. "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. 40 days this thing went on. 40 days this thing went on. "And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses, I don't know what 10 cheeses are, unto the captain of their thousands and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge." Verse 19, "Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines." Here's the second thing that the adversary wants you to believe, and it's a lie, and you can't believe it. You don't belong here. You don't even belong here, right? You don't even fit in here. What are you doing here? Excuse me. The world will give you every reason to believe that you don't even belong in the position or the battle that you feel called to. "I feel like I really need to step up and do something." And they're like, "Who are you? Why would you even think that? You're not qualified. You're not good at it." Right? The world will do everything to make you feel like you aren't even supposed to be there. Right? "You're too young. You're too immature. You're too green. You're too unlearned. You're too..." You fill in the blank. Whatever it is. You know, you don't even belong here. Go back to school, kid. Right? Go back to wherever. You know, you don't belong here. And we haven't even got to where his brother tells him that yet, but you don't belong here. Once again, the adversary is trying to win the battle in your mind before you ever even step out, right? It's funny that the adversary spends most of his time playing with things that you really can't control too much. I mean, you can always renew your mind, but he attacks those kinds of things. You know, that's just what happens. He always attacks the weak kind of things. You know, the adversary a lot of times won't attack me directly. He'll attack my wife or my kids, right? Not that I'm any kind of strong thing. He just knows that's the quickest way to get to me, right? Has nothing to do with me being anything, right? If the battle were only as simple as the task in front of us, it'd be easier, right? If it would only be, "Hey, this is what needs to be taken care of. Okay, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it." If that was all there was, it'd be easier. But instead, we let the battle in our mind be larger than the battle in front of us. And because of that, most will simply choose not to go at all. "I don't belong here. I don't belong here. If it was just this, I could do it. But with everything else that's coming at me, I just, you know what, somebody else, I don't belong here." Right? And the adversary gets it in your mind, and you believe it. I believe it, guys. That's what happens. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." It doesn't take good men Praise godly men. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring not things that are, that the flesh should glory in His presence. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Sorry. God doesn't need you to be anything other than available, right? God doesn't need you to be much to look at, right? He needs you to be available. He doesn't need you to be the big guy, the strong guy, the huge guy, the little guy, the smart guy. He doesn't need all that. He needs you to say, you know what? Here am I. Send me. Right? You're going to be challenged this week. You just will. Right? What are you going to do with it? Here am I. Send me. Well, I don't want to be a missionary. Well, okay, fine. How about you step up and do whatever God's calling you to do right here? And I'm not even going to list the things because you know whatever it is that God's bringing you to. If the adversary can make you believe that you don't belong in the battle in the first place, then once again, he's already won it in your mind. You know, compare this to the battle that you're going through, right? If you don't feel like you even belong out there sharing the gospel next week, inviting people to church, then you probably aren't going to go. Because you're like, well, I don't really know what to say anyway. Okay, well then, you know, he's already won. Right? Like, you don't even belong as a follower of Christ. Like, you don't even belong in this ministry. Like, you don't even belong in this class. Like, you don't even belong in this marriage. Like, you don't even belong in this church. I mean, guess what? He's already won in your mind. And you're right, you don't. Because if you don't believe that you belong, then you don't. Right? You got to believe it. You got to take a hold of it. Take the promises of God and run with them. That's what we've got to do. If you believe that in your mind, then the battle's already 90% lost. Maybe even more than that. That's just the number that I put down, right? The battle's already lost. Verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. Notice that Dad told him to do all this. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take it away? He's like, dude, what now? Like, we're going to give him an award? Why? I don't understand. We read this and we're like he didn't understand. No, he's like, why are we giving an award to doing what we need to be doing in the first place, right? It's like, we got to give a participation trophy? Get out there and do it. He says, and reprove him in Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall I be done, the man that killeth him. Like, Saul said so. Here's the third thing, the third lie. This battle is for somebody else. This battle's for somebody else, right? I'm not called to that. That's not for me. That's not in my area. This is the next thing that we try to believe, that God will need somebody much better than me for this. Why do we believe that? Why do we think, well, God needs somebody smarter than me for that? God needs somebody bigger than me for that. Why do we think that?
It's easier.
It's easier. I think it's more than that, though. I think we look on the outward. Like, I'm not the most smart guy in the world, so I send somebody smarter than me. I'm not the most big guy in the world, so I send somebody bigger than me. We look on the physical appearance, the outward. God looks on the inward. 1 Samuel 16, if you flip back a chapter, in verse 7 says, but the Lord saith unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for he looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God just wants to see where your heart's at, and take it and run with it.
1 Samuel 16, what?
7, sorry. I'm trying to at least get through this part of it. It is in Samuel, though. Not Samuel.
Okay.
just like the army of Israel, we see what's in front of us and we think that there's no way I can do this. God's going to need somebody much bigger than me, much smarter than me, much more eloquent than me, much with much more training than I have, somebody that's much stronger than I am. You know what? God doesn't look on the outward. He looks on the heart. Where's your heart at? Right? If your heart's all jacked up, you're right. God is going to search out somebody else. But if your heart's ready, then God's ready. We see a problem, we think, somebody else will take care of it, right? Oh, the pastor will do that. The ministry leader will do that. Mitchell will take care of it. The teacher will do it. My wife will do it. My husband will do it. My coworker, he'll do it, right? I don't want to do it. So here's what it boils down to. We see that we might not be the perfect fit for the job. So we step back and we'll just watch it crumble in front of us, knowing that we probably could have at least tried to help, but instead we say, not my problem. Somebody else will clean it up. Wasn't my problem. We could have done something, but that was their problem. I've got my own things to deal with. And guys, we gotta start stepping up and stepping out. Day after day after day, 40 days in a row, it said, these men watched somebody blaspheme the name of their God and they did nothing about it because they thought it was somebody else's battle. What about your life, right? How long will you stand back and watch the name of God be blasphemed in your life, in your work, in your marriage, in your church, whatever, in your presence before you decide that maybe God's simply calling me, not me, but you, collectively, whoever, to do something about it, right? How long are you going to step back and just watch? Guys, I'm guilty too. Who's going to fight my battles? That's the question we always want to know. Well, who's going to do something about it? Guess what? You are. In the power of the Holy Spirit, right? You can't do anything of yourself. Don't get me confused, right? You are with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou wilt come down that thou mightest see the battle. His brother calls him out. He's like, what are you even doing here? Right? Basically, he's offended because he's like, you're right, I should have stepped up. Right? Now my little brother's coming in. He's going to go out there and get killed, but at least he stood up for something. That's what he's thinking. Here's the fourth thing. The lie that the devil wants you to believe. Your motivations are wrong. Your motivations are wrong. The next thing, they want you to believe that your motivations are all wrong. You know, the one thing that only you can truly know the answer to, that would be, why am I doing what I'm doing? What are my motivations, right? And that's what they want to attack. They want to make you believe that maybe they're not even right. And if you're not careful, you'll believe it's true. You might not believe any of the previous lies, right? I don't care how big that dude is. I'm going to go get him, right? You might be ready to charge hell with a squirt gun, but when somebody challenges your motives, you can't be sure, then you're in just as much trouble, right? You might have all the zeal in the world, but somebody challenges your motives and you can't like stand firm on them, then you're like, I don't know, right? Well, I was zealous. You need to know why you do what you do. Why you believe what you believe. Why are you ready to go to war? Why are you ready to fight? Here's something that God gave me. Being passionate without godly wisdom is ignorance. It's better to be zealous. But being zealous without godly instruction can be destructive. It's best to be simply obedient. I'll say that again. Being passionate without godly wisdom is ignorance. You can be passionate about something all day long, right? I'm passionate about this. But if it's not godly, then it's just ignorance. Being passionate without godly wisdom is ignorance. It's better to be zealous. But being zealous without godly instruction, without this book, but being zealous without godly instruction can be destructive. I can be zealous all the day long, I'm going to just, like I said, I'm going to go charge hell with a squirt gun, right? You're lost. You're dying and going to hell. Well, you need to have a little bit of grace with this thing, right? Because you might destroy more relationships than you heal just because you're all zealous for God, right? But being zealous without godly instruction can be destructive. It's best to be simply obedient. It's best to, at the end of the day, put all your passion and your zeal to the side, which is hard for me to do because I'm a zealous kind of guy, and say, you know what, I'm just going to do what this book says. I'm just going to take this and I'm going to do that.
One more time.
From the top.
Being passionate without godly wisdom is ignorance.
Ignorance, see, that's what I miss.
It's better to be zealous. But being zealous without godly instruction can be destructive. It's best to be simply obedient. Right? And like, as I'm thinking these things this morning, I'm like, I think that's really good. I think that's something that's like, I would write that down, because it's like, God was really showing me something, because I'm that guy. I get passionate about things, right? I get zealous about the Bible. I'm like, I want to go and do something. I'm ready to, you give me a squirt gun, come on. I want a super soaker. Whatever it is, give it. But without godly instruction, I'm just going to tear more things up than I heal. It's best to be simply obedient. That's where God wants us to be. Philippians 3, 4 through 6 says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, Paul's talking, right? Because he's the most qualified of anybody. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He's like, I was the most zealous guy there was. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You know what? All the zeal in the world got him. He was still lost. And it wasn't until Christ saved his soul that he could do something with him. Right? This, like, hits me where it hurts, guys, because I'm like, well, I want to be zealous. I want to be that. Okay, that's fine. Be zealous with obedience. Be zealous with what God's telling you to do. Right? I'm like, well, I like can't do that at a dead run. Like, I like to do things. Okay, well, maybe you need to slow down a minute, right? Okay, whatever you need me to do, God. Right? Like, I'm not kidding. As I was, and you guys are like, who cares? This is you, Jason. As I was preparing all this stuff, I'm like, God gave that to me before this week, because this week fires me up, right? Vision Conference fires me up, and I'm like, where are we going to go? How many trips up? Sign me up for all of them, right? Let's go. God's like, hey, hear this. Okay, simply obedient. Now hear what I've got to say this week. Right? And so I'm excited, guys. At the end of the day, you need to know what your motivations are for doing what you do, and the answer is not because, and if the answer is not because this book told you to, then you're not just being simply obedient, then you probably need to do some self-evaluating, right? Your motivations need to be because this said so. Well, I don't know what that says. Well, shame on you, right? Shame on you, because you need to be in it. I'll give you the last two next week, and then we'll do the six others next week. Sorry. It's we're late. Sorry. Meredith took too much time.
You can have as much time as you want, as long as it was under 15 minutes.
I think it was. No, it's all good. I'll give you the last two next week. So anyway, and then I'll also give you the six promises that we need to remember that will actually give us tools to like go out and do something, right? It's easy to say, don't do this. Okay, well, what am I supposed to do, right? All right, let's pray and we'll get out of here, guys. I'm excited about this week. I'm excited what God's going to do in your life and in my life. And so be ready to take that step, whatever it is. I'm challenging you guys to hear the Word of God and to be willing to do something with it. That's my challenge to you this week. All right, let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to us this week in a way that only you can. Lord, I pray that you would just put all the speakers to the side, and that it would be your words flowing from their mouths, Lord, that you would intertwine everything that they have to say, that it would be directly to us. Lord, I pray you'd speak to this church, speak to this class, speak to my life, Lord, and that you would be manifest in a way that only you can. I pray that you would just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that you would bring us back for every session that we could be at, Lord, so we could hear from you, and that we would be just fired up to go and do whatever you would ask us to do, and we would be simply obedient with it, Lord. I pray that you just bring us back next week as we wrap up some of the stuff that you showed me out of Samuel, Lord, and that we would just be zealous with just our obedience, Lord. Just use us this week, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Jason.
Yes, sir.
One thing I was seeing here that I've never seen before.